U.S. urinary incontinence is another common problem in women. When should doctors start asking women about stress urinary incontinence?
Well, I think the key point here is that this is a very common problem in women of all ages, and we typically tend to ask our older patients, but it is very common in younger women also. We need to also ask women who don't just have the typical risk factors such as obesity, a chronic cough, multiple vaginal deliveries with large babies. Many women who don't have these risk factors also have stress incontinence. Many women are not comfortable bringing this up to their physicians, so I consider it our role to prompt them and ask them whether or not they are or suffering from stress urinary incontinence.
So we have to create an environment where they're going to want to tell you. And one of the aspects to creating that environment is to let them know that there are successful treatments. Because one of their hesitations is their very realistic concern in the past that the treatments were less than ideally successful.
All right, well, let's meet Tamara, a patient of Dr. Levy's in Gig Harbor, Washington, who suffered from stress urinary incontinence for years before realizing that it could be treated.
I am an interior designer, and I absolutely love it. I do everything from selecting furniture and fabrics for a client to doing complete room or home makeovers.
Crooked from the wall.
It's not solving world hunger, but it's a very rewarding profession. I have been plagued on and off with stress incontinence since I was about 10. I was a young girl in gymnastics doing floor routines, and I thought it was normal that everybody, when they did a backflip and landed, they had a little issue, but apparently that wasn't normal. When I was young, I never spoke with anybody about it. Before I had children, it was definitely manageable. I just knew how to stand. I did a funny running technique if I ever went running. Once I had children, it became, you know, I tried Kegels. I tried different exercises my doctors recommended. I couldn't do any kind of exercise in public. I had to isolate myself completely for fear of any kind of incontinence issues, any leakage issues. I didn't want my kids seeing me as a couch potato or the mom that couldn't do anything, the mom that couldn't run down the street behind their bike. As a designer, you are constantly bringing samples back and forth between clients and showrooms, and some of them get quite heavy. There was some, you know, tricky legwork to make sure that they were lifted properly, and I didn't have any leakage issues. It got to the point where if I had a bad cold with a cough, I would cancel my appointments because I didn't want any issues to be happening. I didn't realize that this didn't happen to everybody. I confided in my best friend that the incontinence was an ongoing issue. I asked her, you know, when you walk, when you run, when you hop, and she's like, no, it's, you know, not a problem, even though she'd also had two children. So I realized then that there was something wrong with me that should be fixed, and I needed to get that done. I went to Dr. Levy about the issues. I called her office and made an appointment with her, and I immediately felt comfortable with her, so I knew I made the right choice. The surgery was really minor. I mean, for such a sensitive area, it was so easy. It was much easier than childbirth. It is called the pelvic sling. It's a piece that's actually added in your body. It's a mesh sling, like a hammock, and it becomes part of your body. After the surgery, I was to lie low for 3 to 4 weeks, which was fine, and then to start introducing exercises again. So very trepidatious the first couple times, and then it was just kind of this epiphany that I didn't have to exercise alone anymore. I could go to a gym. There was some bleeding, but the recovery in a couple weeks, I was back.
That's perfect.
She wanted me to exercise, and for the first time in many years, I was able to go to a gym, go to places in public, and run and not have the concern.
Good. You're trying to make it harder than it was.
I was just so thrilled with the results.
Great job today.
Thank you.
I try to fit exercise in every day if I can. I enjoy running, biking. I do a lot of swimming. I have been doing triathlons for 3 summers. I have become so much more self-confident, not having the threat of any leakage issue hanging over, whether it be personal life, professional life. This has changed my life. It's being able to run with a group, being able to run in public, being able to swim and bike and not have to worry about the consequences.
So surgery was clearly the option for Tamara. By the time she came to see me, she was frustrated. She'd lived her life adjusting to this problem, which was clearly getting worse and worse as time went on. She tried the things her friends and family told her to do, the Kegel exercises, which I think we'll talk about just a little bit, but that's not likely to work in someone like Tamara.
It's been shown that verbal teaching and written teaching of pelvic floor exercises are almost uniformly unsuccessful. Without some kind of feedback of an examination and reinforcement of the appropriate exercises, you can't expect good success. Pelvic floor rehab has much better success rates for the treatment of incontinence than does Kegel exercises alone. And the good news is most hospitals in this country now have a physical therapist who has taken a specific focused interest in the pelvic floor. So it's available.